Hey everybody, today we're going to be talking about controlling kids' technology. So, to lead us into it, here's Bethany.
Hey everybody, so we actually got on this topic very recently about having control over your kids' phones, Facebook page, apps that they use, anything of that nature, and how strict or lenient you should be on controlling those things.
Right. So, I mean, there's whenever it comes to controlling your kids' technology, that's a huge pot to fill, and there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. You got Facebook, you got cell phones, you got computer, you got the PlayStation, you got the Xbox. I can go on and on and on and on with all the stuff that kids have access to these days.
No, and I agree with that. I had a lot of access, and, you know, I do now, to really everything. And I remember Oprah came out with an episode. I was not allowed to have MySpace, thank you, Oprah, because of an episode she did on her show about child predators and how they were using MySpace to get a hold of these children. By getting their information, their phone numbers, address, everything like that. So my mom put a ban on me for MySpace. And then when Facebook became a big thing, I was actually not allowed to have Facebook unless she was my friend on my Facebook profile.
And that makes perfect sense, too, because you want to have that moderation. You can't let your kids, as bad as it may sound, you can't let your kids have too much freedom. Because they have to wait until they're an adult. That's what turning 18 is all about, gaining that freedom and earning that freedom and so on and so forth. Until they're 18, you need to be the parent, really. That's the thing.
Now, I'm going to chime in and be devil's advocate for just a split second. Do you not think that it's good for kids? Like I said, I am playing devil's advocate here. I do not agree with this 100%. Do you not think that it's good to let your children make some of their own choices to learn action and consequence?
I mean, yeah, I think kids should be able to make their own choices and have consequences. But, let them have that consequence of, staying out too late. Or maybe let them have that consequence of, riding a bike without a helmet, and which that sounds awful, but let them have those types of consequences. But whenever you're dealing with the internet and networking with millions, well, that's pretty negative too, but hundreds of thousands of sexual predators or violent predators out there, I think it's safe to draw the line of having full and complete control at that point. Due to the nature of what you're dealing with, because you're not dealing with, just high school innocent mistakes. You're dealing with adult-sized, catastrophic mistakes whenever you're dealing with the internet.
Now, I agree with that 100%. We have children of our own, and I am going to be that, probably more so of that helicopter mom that, you're not going to be messaging strangers on apps or games or whatever, because we actually just came across a thing that I didn't realize was an issue. Roblox is a huge game for, younger children. It's kind of like Minecraft. It's a little bit more social. And our son was like 47 friends. Mind you, he doesn't remember half of the kids from school. So I know good and well he didn't know any of these people on Roblox. And it's concerning to me as a parent that, he lives in two separate households, so we don't have full control over what he does at his different house. And when he came home and, hey, I got this new game and it's really fun and I want to play it here, we were all for that. But when I got on and saw that he's getting friend requests and has 47 friends and he can message these people and they can say anything to him that they want and he can say anything back to them, that's a huge red flag for such a young child.
Yeah, and I'm all like, dude, you're 5. How do you have more friends than I do? Mm-hmm. It's just like, that doesn't make any sense. So, you know, once we discovered that, we immediately took charge of the situation, and we gained access to his account, which was created at the different house. And, you know, we actually imposed immediate account restrictions because, you know, whenever it comes to this Roblox game, yeah, it's not exactly the most graphically impressive game. But, you know, on top of all of the social aspects of it, you know, that some of the games that are on there are not age appropriate for just any kid. You know, there's this one game that I saw him that we saw him playing. It's I think it's like Break Bones or something like that. I don't know. Anyways, the concept of the game is to jump off a cliff and break as many bones on your way down as possible. Me for one, and Bethany for two. I don't think we're not okay with our kid playing a game to see how many bones they can break. That's, you know, you need to be learning how to connect the dots or count to five, or which he can count to five. That's just an example. But, you know, learn colors, you know, learn stuff that are like motorized skills or memory skills, or, you know, there's millions of other things you need to be learning about aside from breaking bones.
And I do have one thing, too, that I want to say. I don't know the things that he plays. We do allow screen time for our children. I know we're just horrible parents. Some people think that that's just the worst thing you can do to your kids. But on that note, I will say, you know, my older brother was very into video games. He was just always that way. And my mother made a very valid point that she would rather him be playing video games than outside doing only Lord knows what with Lord knows who. If he's inside playing these video games, she knows who he's around, who he's talking to, what he's doing, and he's safe. Now, nowadays, I wish that were still true, but I was trying to fix the problem on this Roblox game that our son had, and I could not, and I like to think that I'm pretty technologically savvy to a point. I could not for the life of me find how to change any of these settings or delete friend requests. And that's a concern as a parent, that they make it so difficult for us to control what our children are doing, because it's almost like these security settings are hidden.
Yeah, and the thing is, when in doubt, always get on a computer. And that's the way I look at it. You know, if you're anything that you're managing on an app, 9 times out of 10, you can manage it on a computer and you can manage it in more depth. Just like on, Facebook, for example, you know, on the Facebook app, there's probably, 50 different settings that you could change. But if you go on the computer, there's a good possibility that there could be 100 settings that you could change. The fact is, whenever it comes to mobile apps, you know, a lot of things are much easier to be configured whenever you're accessing it through a desktop. And that just so happened to be the case with Roblox. You know, on the app, there was no way that you can, no way that it could be easily seen anyways to manage account restrictions or manage the friends that are on the list or delete friends. At least we couldn't figure it out. And then I said, well, you know what? I'm going to pull up my computer. And I pulled it up, logged into his profile, and bam, it was easy. You know, just a few clicks, and I was able to remove everybody. So keep that in mind whenever you're trying to manage your child's accounts on whatever app they may be using.
You know, and like we said, like, our son's only 5, and our daughter's 3 years younger. So, you know, I know we have, you know, a little ways to go until we get to the, I guess, bigger stuff like Facebook or all of these different messaging apps that they have. But one thing, too, that we had found that we talked about was they have these, they're like apps that you can hide other apps on your phone. And it looks, one of them, it's supposed to look like, it looks like the calculator app on your iPhone. And I'm sure they make it for Android and stuff too, but I know for iPhone it looks like a calculator, so you hide the inappropriate apps that you're not supposed to have on your phone. And as a parent, and really as anybody in general, that's a big concern, that my child can go and download a free app on their phone to hide other apps that they're not supposed to have from me, my husband, or anybody else for that matter.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Whenever you're if you are gonna buy a phone for your child, first off, I mean, I guess it's inevitable. It's probably going to be a smartphone. I wouldn't recommend it. In fact, our kids are probably going to be the ones that get picked on because guess what? They're probably going to get a dumb phone. Just for a simple fact of all the they don't need that much connectivity to the world and to social media because, you know, there's realistically not much of a way we can filter what they see on social media, specifically on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Facebook has this nifty little feature where it says, you know, you can uncover this video to watch this video, but it may be disturbing. Well, guess what? You tap it, bam, it's uncovered. There it is.
Do you know how many times I've been scrolling through Facebook and I have accidentally, as I'm going to scroll, tap on that little eyeball that they use to cover up whatever it is and have seen the graphic content just from scrolling through with my phone? I mean, it's not like this is foolproof. And kids... click on everything. You give them, what is it that my mom, oh, she has the Talking Tom app. I can't tell you how many times we've had to close out advertisements because their little fingers just go wherever it wants to on the screen and they open up everything.
Yeah, and you know, back to the I mean, you're absolutely right. The phone selection, though, is key to everything. Now, I know there's a lot of people, it's like, oh, Android versus Apple, which one's better? You know, if I have to pick any phone, between the two for your kid, I would honestly go with an iPhone because, you know, there's not as much flexibility to hide stuff on it. You know, so long as you have access to their iTunes or Apple ID and their password, you know, you're going to be in a lot better shape. But, I mean, like she said, there's apps out there that can hide stuff. You know, there may be one or two on the iPhone, or maybe 10 now, but I can guarantee you there's probably hundreds and hundreds more on the Android versus Apple.
One thing, because I'm going through my phone right now, just looking at, like, in the App Store and stuff, and like I said, I have an iPhone. They have apps, which this might have been something that's always been around, but they even have apps for hiding photos in your phone. So if your child is taking and or receiving inappropriate photos, those can also be hidden as well. And they look like just apps that you would never think are anything weird. Like this one looks like just like a normal app that comes with an iPhone.
Yeah, it looks like a planner that comes default with the phone.
And one of the apps actually has the logo of the photo app on the iPhone. They look the exact same.
Yeah, and see, that's one of the big issues there. That's why you need, as a parent, you know, I feel that it is your duty to, you know what they're getting. So you need to have that access to their Apple ID. You need to have that access, without a doubt. And if you do, I can give you another pointer that will save you a ton of heartache, and it will help you know more of what your kids are doing. I'm not 100% sure if it's still around. I'm almost positive it is. It's a website called teensafe.org. And while I'm talking to you about it, Bethany is going to double check and make sure that it's still something here. But if it hasn't had its name changed or anything, the way that that's set up is you can actually, if you log in with your child's Apple ID and password, you can actually view what text messages are coming in and out, whether they've been deleted or not. And you can see what pictures are being sent in and out. And it looks like it's been changed to KidBridge.
Yep, KidBridge.com.
So KidBridge.com, KidBridge.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if the concept is still correct, or still the same, which I'm sure it is, all you need is their Apple ID and their Apple ID password. And that right there will allow you to see what they're doing. It'll show you what kind of, and yeah, there is a monthly membership, and this podcast is in no way, shape, or form sponsored by them, but I know somebody who has used TeenSafe, or now KidBridge, and was able to uncover some information that they really, really needed to know.
And, because like I said, I'm doing research on it right now. This is just this one thing in particular. You can see sent, received, and deleted messages, call logs of sent and received phone calls, device location and location history, web browsing history, bookmarks and contacts, and messages sent via WhatsApp and Kick Messenger, which are commonly used. And so I've noticed a lot of kids don't use Facebook Messenger. They do use these extra apps like Kick or WhatsApp. Now, devil's advocate here again. Let's say your kid's 16. Do you think that it's an invasion of privacy to get messages for every text they get or phone call they receive? Or I'm a mom, and I don't know if I want to see everything that my son is looking up online at 16. Do you think that there is a line that needs to be drawn for us as parents on how much we dig, when we dig, and those kinds of things?
Well, truth be told, you know, honestly, I don't necessarily bask in the grateful or happy thoughts of looking through my teenage child's, you know, browsing history. I mean, I don't really want to know what they're looking up. But at the same time, as their parent and them being under the age of 18, them not being an adult and me being their guardian and looking over them, it is my obligation to do what I need to do to protect them. And, you know, quite honestly, if they're looking up porn, I'd rather know that than for them to be sneaking out with a 30-year-old man or woman or whatever in middle of the night. You know, that's a risk that I'd be willing to take. I mean, you know, maybe I won't talk to them every time I see that they search up porn. You know, maybe I don't necessarily know, because our kids aren't that age yet and we're not there. But I can assume that, you know, maybe, just maybe, I might, you know, have a talk with them and maybe not bring it up every single time they pull up porno. I don't know. It's hard to say.
No, I think that does kind of bring up another good question. The way you said that, let's say you see your kid texting things they shouldn't be, or even like bullying is such a huge issue on social media. Bullying is so much, and it's so sad to say it, but bullying is so easy now. You can hide behind a screen and bully whoever you want, whenever you want, say whatever you want, do whatever you want, and it seems to have no repercussions until something tragic happens. Now, to my question, do you think that you should say something every time you see your child doing something that you don't think they should be?
Well, you know, quite honestly, I mean, that's really a hard thing to answer. But I would honestly feel that it probably is a better thing to say something every time, just because if you say something every time, they're probably going to stop.
Or do you think that that's just going to lead them to venture into things that are covering up what they're doing, like getting those secret folder apps that they have? Or, you know, do you think that, because I remember, you know, my mom never snooped through my stuff unless she thought that there was something going on. And usually she would tell me about it, like, hey, I don't think something's right or something's off. You know, I want to give me your phone. And if my mom said, give me your phone, I gave her my phone. And, you know, there was no, like, deleting everything or hiding everything in an app. I was just screwed if my mom said, give me your phone. So, do you think that you should only ask if you feel like there's something going on? If you think, let's just say your kid's looking up porn every night, five, 7 days a week, all the time, just looking up porn. Do you think, if it's not hurting anybody else, do you think maybe you should just leave it where it lies? Or do you think that as a parent, you should still say something, even though it's not something that's hurting anybody else?
Well, if you end up going into the laws, contributing to the delinquency of a minor is not really something I feel like being charged with. And you know, I'm sure that obviously law enforcement, I mean, they're not going to sit there and look so far in depth of that, I'm sure. But at the same time, the law is the law. And if my child is using a service that I'm paying for to do illegal things underage, then, you know, that's something looking up porn. Wait.
Okay, I'm going to ask a really dumb question right about now. Do you have to be over 18 to look up porn?
Legally, you have to be 18 or older.
That's really a thing?
Yes. Yeah, just like you have to be 18 or older to walk into a porn store. That's, I mean, yeah, it all makes sense. It all ties in together. Yeah, mind blown. But, you know, you as a, as not whipping out the girl card or anything, but you as a girl or a female, you probably don't have, you're not the guy, you're not a guy, you're not as much as likely to go into porn.
Yeah, because I don't think women feel the need to just look at porn every single day. Like, that is more of, I think, like a teenage boy problem that, you know, parents kind of run across, like, why are all my towels in my bathroom missing kind of conversation.
Why is this sock crusty? I mean,
you know, I think those are more of like a boy conversation that you have to deal with, like not a daughter conversation. But me as a parent, some of the things that I have been through, I will probably be one of those really obnoxious helicopter moms. It's like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Who are you with? Calling you 500 times to make sure you got there okay. Do you think that things like that cross a line of being, do you think being a helicopter parent is a negative thing? And I think that being a helicopter parent is also checking your kid's phone whenever I darn well please, and checking their browser history, putting a tracker on their car, you know, because these are all things about controlling your kid's technology. Do you think that's more of a negative or more of a positive thing for your kids?
Well, I think that's a touch and go area, really. I mean, it really is, because, you know, my mom, she wasn't really technologically
savvy.
Yeah, I was going to say savage, but savvy is the word I'm looking for. But somehow, which, of course, whenever I, you know, the internet started off, us as kids getting access to the internet, you know, it was a completely different ballgame. But somehow or another, my mom would really just go into the computer and just search up random words related to porn. And then all the cookies would pop up, and she could, you know, and she, it's funny because she didn't do the easy way. I mean, I guess she kind of did. She checked the browsing history, didn't see nothing. So she just searched on the computer for random porn terms, and sure enough, you know, we didn't delete the cookies. You know, we didn't know what cookies were at the time, you know, and we got busted. Well, guess what? After that, no more porn searching for us, because we had no idea how she figured it out.
Oh my gosh, that's...
Yeah, I mean, that's just how it happened. I mean, you know...
I mean, I don't mean to laugh, because I'm sure that was, like, a very humiliating time for you in your life when your mother found out how to figure out what kind of porn you were looking up, because she knew what words to search for.
Well, it's funny, but, you know, the thing is, I don't think there was any specific type of porn at that time, you know, porn was porn, you know, oh, naked chick, bam, there we go. So, I mean, that, it is what it is, but the fact that, and that was also on, like, Windows 98, though, too, so, I mean, things have changed, and maybe there's a way to easily clear all of that stuff. In fact, I think there is in Google Chrome, you can clear, like, browsing history, cookies, search terms, all that stuff, so it's a little bit harder. But if you have monitoring on your child's phone, which is more than likely what they're going to be using to browse the web, then you know, you're going to be in better shape. But there's also software out there to put on your computers to track that kind of information.
Okay, so I'm on my phone right now, and I went to, like, the settings in my Safari or whatever. There's one button, clear history and website data. Clearing will remove history, cookies, and other browsing data. So if I click clear history and data, all my stuff's gone. Oh man, I had stuff pulled up. Oh man, hold on.
No, it's all closed out now.
Oh man. Okay, well, it works.
I'd say check your history, but you kind of messed that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's why it's important to have, I feel that it is important to have some sort of software on your phone, or and with this KidBridge, you know, you need to make sure that your kid's iCloud backs up.
Now I have a question for somebody who's not as into what certain things on, like, cookies are things I eat. That's what cookies are to me. So with what I just did, does that clear it from, like you won't be able to find it ever?
Well, nothing that you delete on your phone is deleted forever. I mean, what it does is it pretty much, the way the memory works or storage works on electronic devices is if you delete something, it just marks that particular segment of the memory is able to be written over.
So as a parent, could I, if let's say our kids click that button, is there any way without the
FBI?
Yeah, without like the SafeBridge app or anything, is there any way for you to track that?
Well, by looking at the phone without any sort of assistance app, no, not to my knowledge.
Okay.
I mean, you have to have something on there tracking that stuff in order to be able to know that it's there, because if they're deleting it, then it's gone. I mean, unless you are really good with technology and know how to bring back deleted files, like I do, our kids are not they're in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
So, but either way, you know, if you don't know how to do that, then yeah, it's gone forever. There's no way to pull it back up without that knowledge.
And I do, you know, like I said, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I am a firm believer that being a helicopter parent is not a bad thing, that being controlling over your kids' technology is not a bad thing. Now, I think that sometimes that can lead into your kids, once they get out and kind of figure things out on their own, like, oh, I have all this freedom, it could blow up in your face. I have seen it happen with people that I know and that I love dearly, that as soon as they get a taste of that freedom, they take it and boy, do they run with it. You know, so I do see where that could be a negative thing, but I think that if it keeps my child safe, as long as they are in my house, I don't care how psychotic they think I am. They could think I'm the craziest mom ever because I don't let them go out and have fun, but I do think that it's so extremely important for us to monitor what our kids are doing. I mean, there's things that, like, there's a new thing that's out that's like the dark, I don't know anything really about the dark web except for I think that's what people use to like trade organs and stuff on. But apparently there's something that's worse than that that has just recently come out to my knowledge.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of that stuff yet, but
it's like the deeper, darker web.
The deep, dark web. Yeah, I'll have to do some research on that for sure. But you know, back on the helicopter mom thing, my mom, she wasn't really a helicopter mom, but I was sheltered, you know, and I did have rules. I did have curfews and whatnot. And I did have stuff that I could not do. And you know, going back to the, you know, being afraid of what the kids will do after they become an adult. Well, 2 days after I graduated high school, I moved over 1,000 miles away. I just loaded up my car and I moved to Texas. And, you know, that was a huge mistake. And if you're a firm believer in your kids learning from their mistakes, well, guess what? That was one of my biggest ones I ever made. And I sucked it up for about 6 months living down there. And then it got to the point to where I couldn't handle it anymore. And I called my parents and I was begging them to help me come back.
And I think those are the mistakes that your kids do have to learn from, because, you know, when they're 18 and they are an adult and they go out on their own, yes, it's our job as their parents to worry, but it's also our job, I believe, as parents to let our kids figured certain things out. As soon as I graduated and I had all that freedom in the world, I got myself into some pretty bad situations, and I had to learn from those mistakes. And that was no reflection on my parents. I don't want to say I was sheltered, but there were things that I was taught, and even just morals that I was taught, that when my parents weren't around, I was a typical teenager. I drank underage, and I started smoking cigarettes when I was 16. And those are things that no matter how helicoptery my parents were, I still did those things. But there was a lot of situations that friends of mine got themselves into that I could have never dreamed of because my parents monitored who I talked to, what I did on social media, you know, where I was going, who I was going with. Certain situations I never saw because my parents were parents and they checked my phone. They checked my diary. They checked those things. And I mean, I'm extremely grateful for that now.
Yeah, and as today as a society, the thing that we've gotten away from is parenting our kids and becoming friends with our kids is what we've gone towards. And that's a huge mistake to begin with, because the thing is, you know, that and it may be a difference in opinion, and you may have a different opinion, but, you know, I did have a certain level of fear with my parents, but along with that fear was respect. You know, I knew not to do certain things because I knew that I'd get my butt wore out and I'd go have to pick a switch or you know, I'd have some really hard labor chores that I might have to do, or I'd get my butt whooped or get a butt whooped with a belt and so on and so forth. And, you know, that right there didn't necessarily instill just fear. You know, it was a little bit of fear, but it was mostly respect, because at the end of the day, the worst punishment was just a few words. I'm disappointed in you. That was worse than any butt whooping I ever got. But that's because my parents were parents, and they instilled that with me. And, you know, whenever they go out to make these mistakes, some of the mistakes, if you were parenting and not being just their friend, you know, they're not going to make, most cases, they probably won't make the life-changing mistakes. They'll just make the teenage mistakes if they have that level of respect. Because like you said, there's stuff you wouldn't dare do because of how your parents had disciplined you and how they raised you. So, you know, I commend your parents for that, because there's a lot worse things that you probably would have done had you not had that upbringing.
And I agree with that 100%. You know, and I'm not going to say that I didn't do things that I shouldn't have done as a teenager or as a young adult, because I did. I mean, it is what it is. But I have learned from those mistakes, and as a mom now, I know what to look for, and I know what to kind of do to control those situations. But, you know, you're right. There's some things you can't come back from. Getting yourself put into extremely serious situations, some of those you can't come back from. Sometimes your kids don't come back from that, whether it be mentally, physically, emotionally. Kids do not bounce back like everybody thinks they do sometimes. And, you know, and I'll say it until I'm blue in the face, as parents, it is our job to be their parent. You know, my mom used to always tell me, you have plenty of friends, you don't need another one. And she was absolutely right. I did not need her to be my friend. Now that I'm older and I have kids of my own and I've grown up, she is my best friend. But growing up, she was my mother. And she was not always my favorite person, because she was protecting me. You know, and for me, if my kids, let's say my kids hate me because I'm strict and we have too many rules, that's fine. They can hate me when they live to be 60 or 80 or 100 because I kept them alive, because I didn't let them do stupid things, and I wasn't trying to be their friend all the time.
Well, and at the end of the day, though, I mean, if you take a look back Do you hate your parents right now?
Oh, gosh, no.
Well, and that's really the point in itself is that, yeah, your kids will probably hate you as a teenager if you enforce rules because, I mean, kids, their desire is freedom, and they want that freedom, and they'll do anything for that freedom, and even if it means breaking the rules. But, you know, if you're strict and they don't like it, guess what? Whenever they get a lot older and they mature, they are going to grow to respect you that much more, and, you know, it'll bring up the point where it's like, you know what? Thanks, Mom and Dad, for being hard on me. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for having rules. I know I've already had that talk with both of my parents. You know, I thanked them for being hard on me and for giving me structure and not letting me do as I pleased and roam free around the world causing havoc and, you know, being an idiot. You know, because of my fear of consequences now, I don't break the law. Guess how many times I've been arrested? None. How many times have you seen me in the booking log? None. You know, I am a productive citizen in my community because I follow the laws, I have a work ethic, and all that's because I was disciplined as a child. I'm not traumatized by my butt whoopings, but I'm productive.
I know what you just said kind of made me laugh when you said, you know, you're a productive citizen, just because my dad used to always say, like, that was his job as a dad, was to raise productive citizens of society. Like, it was very old school of him to say, but it's so true. Like, we're raising these tiny humans, and it's our job to make sure that they're at least halfway decent, and that they're not bullying people or, you know, becoming gang members and selling drugs on the side. Like, it's our job to kind of protect them from those things and steer them away from those things. And like I'll repeat it again, just being productive members of society. And I feel like with that comes monitoring and kind of controlling what they do and don't do. Not saying that it's okay to control your kids' lives completely, because there are certain things that I believe that your children have free will to choose what they want to do. I don't think it's okay to control your kids and force them into sports that they hate or force them into activities that they don't enjoy doing. But I am going to force my children to not bully people, and I'm going to control their choices on who they have as friends on their Facebook page or who they have as friends on games or messaging apps that they're using. I do think that those things are allowed to be controlled as parents.
Yeah, and the thing is, what you want to look at is whenever you become old and decrepit and you're shipped away to if it happens and you get sent to a nursing home, guess what? All the kids that are the age of your kids, those are the people that are going to be taking care of you. Now, my question would be, do you want someone who is a productive citizen, who has work ethic and cares about their job and what they do, do you want them taking care of you? Or do you want someone who slacks and has poor work ethic, lazy, doesn't show up on time, doesn't do things in a timely manner? Do you want them taking care of you? I mean, at the end of the day, our kids are going to take care of us, just like we took care of them. So if you don't take care of your kids and bring them up right, that's really going to hurt you in the future. And, you know, I fully agree that, you know, I'm going to control a lot of stuff with my kids. I'm not going to control their interests or their hobbies or anything along the lines of that, because they have a free mind of their own to do what they enjoy and to pursue the hobbies and dreams that they want to pursue. But I'm not going to allow them to be exposed to the darkest areas of social media or internet or, you know, that I can't let that happen. I've got to protect my kids. And that is part of protecting our kids is, you know, having some sort of control. I mean, back in the day, which they still have it, but I don't see many people doing it anymore, parental controls on DirecTV or Dish Network or whatever your satellite provider is, not many people do that anymore. So now you can, you know, go to HBO After Dark or whatever that stuff is. If you don't have the parental controls, guess what? Boobs. That's what, you know, back whenever I was a kid, oh, guess what? HBO has boobs. Okay, well, I'm going to go HBO. Go to HBO. Ah, there's a four-digit passcode. What could that be? Well, 1234, that didn't work. 1111, that didn't work. And 000, that didn't work. So, guess what? No boobs for me. I was protected. So, at the end of the day, parental controls is not a bad thing. And monitoring what your kids do is not a bad thing. You know, that to me, it's an obligation.
Well, and like, because we, when we switched cable, when we got cable back altogether, we, I think, got like 3 months free of HBO or something that I had no idea about. And I was just flipping through the channels and 50 Shades of Grey's on. And I was like, holy crap, I didn't know we got stuff like this on the TV. And that was from just me as an adult scrolling through the channels, not knowing that we even had that on the TV. So, you know, in some of these shows that kids have nowadays that are on, like, Nickelodeon, are not okay for kids of a certain age to be watching. Like, Uncle Grandpa. Like, some of these shows are so inappropriate for children that we stay on Disney Junior 24/7 in this house. Just because I am so scared that my children are going to see things that they should not have to see, or things that they don't understand that they might interpret the wrong way. So even at such a young age of our children, we have to be on our toes with what they watch, what they listen to, what they see. Just, I mean, everything. And I know when I was a kid that was not an issue. You simply turn on parental locks and shows had ratings and whatever did not meet that criteria. You weren't watching that day. You know, my parents wouldn't even let me watch MTV, not even for the music videos. And I argued with that, like, just let me watch MTV in the morning before I go to school because I just like listening to the music. And I was not allowed to. And seeing, especially now, seeing the stuff on YouTube and these music videos that are out now are raunchy. And I really understand why my mom was so strict on, you are not going to watch these people shaking their butts around on TV because you enjoy the music. Turn on the radio and you don't have to watch the videos.
Yeah, and with, you know, YouTube, you know, I understand YouTube is a huge go-to for parents and YouTube Kids and so on and so forth, but the fact remains with YouTube, I mean, you've almost got to be sitting right next to your kid watching it, because first off, Momo, that was a huge unprecedented concept that just popped out of nowhere again. You know, whenever you start dealing with user-created content, you're going to deal with some pretty messed up people that will make things look innocent, and then obviously it turns into something completely uninnocent. And, you know, that right there, I mean, find something that is reliable. User content is almost never a good option, just because there is a lot higher risks in those areas to get stuff like Momo to pop up. So limit your kids' screen time. You know, our kids, they get very little screen time and they have to earn it. You know, our son, he's at the age where he utilizes screen time, but you know, he gets maybe 1 to 2 hours per week of screen time. Let your kids go outside. Let them enjoy nature. You know what? I guarantee you, if you say, hey, why don't you go outside and run around? Your kids will do it. Especially if you start them out at an early age. You know, if you already got them, you know, knee-deep in playing video games and stuff, then you know, that's going to be a lot harder for you. But kids will play outside. They love going outside.
And I believe that if you teach your kids to appreciate, like, our daughter, she's three. She's almost three, I should say. I'm not going to rush that just yet. She is obsessed with rocks and water. So we go to the creek, and we have taken her to the dry creek to, you know, look for, you know, like, fossils and look for pretty rocks. And that is probably her favorite thing in the world to do. just like our son, he loves throwing rocks in the water. He loves going fishing with his pawpaw. You know, those are the things that they appreciate now at such a young age that when they do get older, they're not going to be as focused on social media or gaming and talking to weird strangers. They're going to be more focused on more productive things, more mind-shaping things, if you will. And that is so important to me because, you know, my parents were like that with us when we were little. We went out and did things together as a family. We went to the park. We went to, you know, just riding around on Sundays. And we didn't have, I mean, we had video games and we were allowed to play them, but that wasn't all our life was made of, was video games. We were, you know, we were more appreciative of the smaller things, and as we got older, we continued to be appreciative of those smaller things, and social media really wasn't that big of an issue.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got, Bethany and I have got about a five-year difference, so we really, we kind of grew up in different times, because social media wasn't really a thing whenever I was in high school, whereas it was for her. You know, so whenever it came to social media, it wasn't really a big deal, and I grew up just fine. You know, we did have MySpace did start becoming a thing, and Facebook was just starting out and everything. But you know, we didn't really know what we were doing with it. We were just like, oh yeah, cool, let's set up our own personal page and stuff. But and then yeah, put some music on there and a wallpaper. You know, show a little bit about who we are and everything. But, you know, we weren't so reliant on it to where we had to be on it constantly. And, you know, you go to anywhere that you have school-aged, well, really high school-age or middle school-age kids, they are almost always walking around with their phone looking at it. I mean, it doesn't matter where they're at. They are so dependent on it. And, you know, you got to limit that screen time. That's what I've been saying the whole time. Limit the screen time. That's what we do, and it so far it's effective. But then again, we've got a 5-year-old.
You know, and I think too, if you don't want to, you know, let's say you're listening to this and you're like, but I don't want to be one of those psycho helicopter parents. That's totally fine. But if you limit your kid's screen time, you don't have to be a psycho helicopter parent, because then there's not going to be anything for you to worry about. You know, and I do think there are pressures on kids. I know there was on me to have a cell phone super young and to have a Facebook and to have this and that. You know, and you had said something about MySpace, about, you know, just tell a little bit about who you are, make your profile cool, have music playing, whatever. But now it's like kids have to show everything about who they are. Like, physically, all of that. You know, I deleted Instagram just because I'm not a fan. And I would see just girls, women, men taking pictures of themselves and posting them online for the entire world to see of them in a bathing suit and bra and underwear. Like, that's a problem. And my question is, like, where are your parents? That's probably the first thing that pops into my head is, where are your parents? Because my mom, oh my gosh, I would have probably been dead if I would have ever taken a picture of myself in a bathing suit from top to bottom and posted it on the internet for everybody to see.
Yeah, and one of the things about social media that a lot of people don't understand is, you know, there is a, you know, type of an addiction that is associated with social media. And really what you need to do is, from the get-go, limit your child's screen time, and, you know, don't let them get social media immediately, because see, there's a hormone called dopamine, and as soon as they get a like on a post, that releases just a little bit of dopamine. They post a picture and they get some likes, that's some dopamine right there, and really that can become very addictive. So you really got to nip that in the bud before it becomes an issue. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be much harder to really kind of wean your child off that. Let them get their dopamine elsewhere. Let them get it for, you know, having an award for, I don't know, catching a big old fish, or for winning a spelling bee, or you know, something productive other than getting a like or a follow.
You know, and with those, you know, positive things that, you know, because I have heard, you know, and I've had conversations with people that are like, yeah, but, it, you know, if you get a bunch of likes on your Instagram pictures, then it makes you feel good. Yeah, but what about when you get a lot of hate on your Instagram photo or your Facebook post, or, you know, Facebook? And I keep going back to Facebook because I remember, I think I was in middle school when everybody was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you don't have a Facebook. Like, sixth grade, oh my gosh, I can't believe you don't have a Facebook. I can't believe your parents won't let you have a cell phone. People are mean. Like, what, sixth grade? Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
Like I said, we're 5 years apart. It, you know, it is what it is. Which is nice because I've got, I guess, it's fresher to me. Because I've kind of been there with, like, the bullying and the, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And I've seen, because I was more in that age bracket when that stuff became, like, Instagram became popular. And it's just, I don't know. I just don't understand. And maybe parents don't know what their kids are doing. You know, like, when I see these girls post half naked pictures of themselves online, I go back to where I said, like, my mom would have strangled me to death, probably, if she would have ever seen me post anything like that. And it's like, I don't know if us as parents sometimes are just really uneducated, or if we're just so out of the loop that we don't know what's going on with our kids. And I think it's too important for us not only to be in the loop with our kids, but to be in the loop with other parents. You know, if my kid's being rude, or if my kid's being ugly, or if you see my kid smoking under the bridge after school, tell me. Like, let me know. Just like I would hope that you would want me to let you know that our kids are not being safe, or they're not being smart. Like, those are things that I think parents have to talk about, too.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that I was very lucky with was a small-town upbringing. You know, everybody knows everybody, and so on and so forth, you know, so that was great. And it kind of sucked though too as a teen, because, you know, I never smoked cigarettes or anything, smoked anything, but, you know, what happened one time was, you know, someone had seen, I think I had a straw in my mouth while I was going down the road, and someone had ended up calling my parents and said, hey, I think your son's smoking. So whenever I came home, there was a thorough investigation done on my vehicle and myself, which obviously uncovered, and I told him, I said, well, it was a straw, you know, like, legitimately, you know, as fake as that may sound, I don't smoke. That's, you know, not my thing.
Whereas for me, I did smoke. Like I said, when I was 16 is when I started, and I lived in a bigger town with tons of people, so I never had that fear of, well, my mom's not going to see me, because I know when she's at work, or, you know, I know which roads to take where no one's going to see me, because there's so many people that live in this town, you know, so I think the fact that we both have completely different upbringings, not only just, I think, with how our parents were, but with the kind of community we lived in, we have totally different perspectives, but it's like the best combination, if that makes any sense. Because I know the stupid things I did as a child and as a teenager, because I knew I wasn't going to get caught. So I know what to look out for with my children, because I know exactly what they're going to be doing. And Ethan knows what to look for, because this is a small town and people do communicate. Parents communicate. And I'll go back to that I do think that it is so important that parents keep communication with each other. You know, if our kids are in the same class together, I'm not saying that you have to be best friends with every parent that your child ever comes across because they share the same teacher with some other kid. But if you know, let's say, who my son is, or you know who my daughter is, speak up if you see that they're doing something they should not be doing. I mean, and I think that's just flat out how it should be with everybody. You know, and I know there's some parents who are like, if my baby's doing something wrong, don't tell me because my baby doesn't do anything wrong. And there are parents like that out there, and I am so sorry. But our kids are not perfect. they do stuff that they're not supposed to do, and I think that to help protect our children, parents have to have communication. If you're willing to, if I catch my son doing something, I'm going to come to my husband and say, hey, listen, our son was doing this, it's not right, let's kind of go at this head on and fix the problem. If I'm willing to do that with my husband to basically get our own child in trouble, I feel like we should be willing to protect other people's children as well.
Yeah, I mean, if your kid's doing something wrong, wouldn't you want to know about it? I mean, so what's the harm in you know, you communicating that to the other parent, you know? One thing that I actually took the initiative of whenever our son became school age is, you know, I took to social media to try to start off that communication level with all of the parents of the kids that you know, my son's going to go to school with. And now we have it's a Facebook group where all of us are able to communicate with each other. Usually most of the time we're just sharing, you know, different events, you know, what's going on with this, or hey, did anybody catch what date this is due, or you know, stuff like that. But at the same time, we have that open platform where we can communicate, okay, look, there's something that happened at school today. Can anybody chime in and make any recommendations or whatever? You know, we have that relationship now. And, you know, kind of going back towards, like, the apps and stuff that your kids use and social media, I'm a very firm believer that if you're going to allow your child to utilize an app or social media, you yourself need to have that app or social media. Just like Roblox, for example, the game that our son plays. You know what? As soon as I figured out that he was wanting to play it and all this and that, and he got set up on it and started playing it, guess what? I got it. I played a little bit. I wanted to get a taste of what my son was about to have to be dealing with. Now, if you don't want to take the time to see what your child's going to be getting into, then you probably shouldn't let your child get into it. You know, if you're not going to play Roblox, then you probably shouldn't let your kid play Roblox because you don't know what you're setting them up for. So I think that that's very important. Just like Facebook, if you are going to allow your child to have Facebook, you yourself should have Facebook and know what they're doing and how it works. Otherwise, you're just letting them go in blind and setting them up for failure.
No, I agree with that 110%. I even do that with movies a lot of times that seem kid appropriate, and then I'll watch them and be like, oh, heck no, our children are not watching this movie, because I want to know what my children are seeing and hearing, listening to, whatever it is, because that's my job to control that. And if I can filter out anything that they shouldn't be seeing or hearing, that's what I'm going to do. If that means I have to sit through a 2.5-hour horrible movie to make sure that my kids don't have to endure the same thing, I'm going to do it.
Right. No, absolutely. And, I mean, I think there's a lot of good, valid points that have been made tonight. And we hope that you take a lot from this. You know, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or feedback, whatever platform you're watching this on, you know, be sure to like, subscribe, comment, find us on Facebook, whatever platform you're on, and you know, let us know what do you think? What's your thoughts on any of this? The controlling of technology for your kids. What's your thoughts? So with that being said, we're gonna go ahead and draw this to a close. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Bethany.
And we're the Newmans. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening, and have a great and blessed day.